All right, here we are again, the Crossover Conversations podcast. We are your hosts, the Wyatts. I'm Devin.
I'm Katie.
We are a few days late, admittedly, but that was on purpose. We have waited until tonight to release this episode so that we could cover mainly the All-Star happenings. But there's some other stuff we want to cover, too, that happened last week, and we've got quite a bit to cover, so let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's start with the highlight, if you will, games from this past week. I think let's start with the Sky and Liberty. That was the first one that comes to mind. The double-double streak has come to an end, Katie.
It has. She had a good run. I said it wrong last week, but I think she ended at 15.
Yep, 15.
Angel Reese.
Yep, Angel Reese. Yes, sorry for those of you who don't realize what we're talking about. And it's still a WNBA record, so it's nothing to.
Oh, she killed it.
Yeah.
She killed it. It had to come to an end. It did seem like at the end of that game, she was still trying to go for it, but the Liberty really made sure kind of that didn't happen. I think it was kind of enough, and she did an amazing job. That's going to be a hard one to beat in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they did bounce back as a team, the Sky, and they beat the Aces a couple days later.
Right, so they lost to the Liberty. Correct. I don't think we said that, then you're right. They did come back. They beat the Aces, who are a very good team. Mm-hmm. That was a tough game for one of our favorites in particular, Kate Martin.
That's right. Yep, left with a leg injury, I believe, is the most detailed I heard.
Yeah, and I don't think we have an official report on how she's doing, but I did see that she is in Boston visiting who we think is her girlfriend, who we talked about a couple weeks ago. She seemed to be on both feet, and she seemed to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, she was walking around during that game, even after her injury. She was walking around unassisted without any crutches or boot or anything.
She did not return to the game, though.
Right, she did not return to the game, though. But, you know, that in itself is a pretty good sign to me, at least.
Yes.
So that's good.
And she has a break now.
She's got roughly a month, right, to heal up. Next big game, the Fever shockingly beat the Lynx.
And you know what was shocking about it?
What?
It was a Lynx home game.
Oh, that's right. It was, yeah, a Lynx home game.
You wouldn't have known by the sound of the crowd.
No, definitely not. You're right. It was a very large pro Fever section or sections.
Right, and we looked it up because the distance from the Hawkeye, I think it's Carver Stadium, the distance between that basketball stadium where Caitlin Clark played to Minnesota versus Indianapolis, the Minnesota stadium that they played at was actually an hour closer in distance.
Yeah, so for all those hometown Iowa fans that wanted to see her play, it was actually more convenient for them to just travel north up to Minneapolis.
Probably, yeah, the best opportunity for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
I think it was like 4 hours or something, four-hour drive.
That's got to be the closest WNBA team by far, I would think.
Yeah, I think that win probably, even for, you know, even if this isn't Caitlin Clark's stance, I think it felt a little bit vindictive for all the fans. And do you know where I'm going with this?
I know where you're going with this, and I agree with you on it.
So the coach of the Lynx, whose name is Cheryl Reeve, we talked about her a couple weeks back. She's been with that team for something like 14 seasons. She has been very, I don't even know the nice way to say it. She's just been very stern in that she feels like it was the right decision for Caitlin Clark to not be on the United States women's basketball team, team.
Yep, she's made her mind up, and no one's going to change her mind.
Right, and she is not like, yeah, Caitlin Clark is going to have her chance, and like she's a great player. Mm-hmm. She is just direct, and she's, she's just like, nope, we did not make the wrong decision by keeping her out. And I don't know. She just hasn't been really like that kind about it.
No, not at all.
I just think there's a way to say it. Even if you do feel secure in that decision, which it might have been the right decision, I think it could go back and forth on if Caitlin could squeeze into top 15 players, top 12 players or whatever in the league. But there's a way of saying that but also giving Caitlin her flowers. Like, man, she's incredible. Like, I can't wait to see her in 4 years when she comes back.
Right.
All that to say, Caitlin Clark showed up in her house, dominated, and...
Yeah, had a good game, and I agree with you. Like, even... Caitlin's never going to say this.
No, never.
But if it's me, I'm sitting there, and I'm going, yeah, uh-huh, you should have put me on the team there, coach. But... Anyway, we've got some more to say kind of on that later on when we get to the All-Star stuff, so I don't want to get too deep into it. But the big game, at least for me, of the week was it was actually the last WNBA regular season game before the All-Star break. The Fever came to Dallas. We were at the game. It was your birthday.
It was.
So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Clark, we witnessed a record.
Caitlin Clark
set the record for most assists in a WNBA game with 19 assists. That's crazy.
And that's not just for a rookie. That's for that's all of WNBA.
Correct. Yep, all WNBA history. Yes, that is correct.
It was probably the most perfect game we could have gone to between watching her have a fantastic game, set a record, but then our home team won, which is a shock because I think that the Wings have the worst record in the WNBA right now.
They are an injury-laden team.
Yeah, it's not been a great year for them. But to see that stadium so hype, honestly, in both directions, it was incredible.
The atmosphere at that game was one of the best atmospheres for a collegiate or professional game, basketball-wise, that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
It was great.
What's interesting, I think we talked about it last week, how this stadium in Dallas only holds about 8,000 fans.
Mm-hmm. And that's even a little bit of a – what's the word I want to use here? It holds 8,000, but that's misleading because for Wings games, the entire section or sections behind one of the goals are actually rolled in to create that like buffet for like the premium suite holders.
So you're saying they're less than 8,000 seats?
Correct. So if you look right now, it was a sold out game we were at, but there was only 7,000 people there because roughly 1,000 seats are taken away.
Well, either way, we were surprised they didn't move it, but it was a very cool, like intimate feeling. Mm-hmm. And we were only about 10 rows up and we were right across from the Fever bench. And so, yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. So much fun that I never thought I would do this, but I actually put us on the wait list for 2025 season tickets for the Dallas Wings.
You actually did it? I know we talked about it.
No,
but
I actually did it.
Amazing.
Yep. I paid the $200, so $100 per ticket fee to put us on the wait list. That does give us access to quote-unquote discounted tickets for the rest of the regular season if they have any available.
I know. Well, I was looking at some of the ones that I think we should go to. Oh, okay. So,
and then it also gives us priority access to playoff tickets for this year if they were to make the playoffs.
All right.
So
yeah, they better have a really good back half of the season. But
yep.
Anyway, those were... All four of those games were pretty crazy. They just happened to be both the Sky and the Fever.
Yeah.
They had some kind of dramatic games, but they were good.
Right. And speaking of the Sky, un-game-related big news, Marina Mabry getting traded.
She's a starter for the Sky.
Yeah. She.
And yeah, that was shocking.
Yeah, that was. I was very shocked. But goodness gracious, Chicago came away with a ton in return for her. Did you see what all did they get? So okay, let's break it down for you. So she was traded to Connecticut. I don't know if we mentioned that. Traded to the Connecticut Sun. So the Sun got her, obviously Mabry, and they got a second round pick for this next draft, 2025. Okay. So her second round pick. The Sky got Rachel Banham, who is an 8-year veteran in the league. She's a guard, kind of playing a role player role right now for the Sun. And Mariah Jefferson, very similar, also thinks she's an 8-year veteran, also playing a role player type role. So none of them are superstars, but they got two players. They get the first round draft pick in 2025 that the Sun would have
had. Okay.
And they get the rights to the 2026 first round pick that the Sun have, which basically means that come 2026, if the Sun's first round pick is better than the pick that Chicago has, then they will basically swap.
Wow. You know, the whole trade is interesting. First of all, because I don't feel like we see a whole lot of trades.
No.
At least mm-mm. not mid-season. No. I think this is probably the biggest one of the year.
Yeah, and we especially don't see a lot of trades with starters or superstars. Or,
right.
Yeah, I mean, they're all bench players if
so,
we do see one.
Right, and so then the other thing that I was seeing is apparently Marina Mabry and Dejanay Carrington, who is a member of the Sun, uh-huh. apparently they really have not gotten along historically.
Interesting.
And I've looked it up. I've looked it up to see like if there was some kind of specific beef, and it really just seems like it's on court just jawing at each
Got
other.
Got it. So it's not like they were rivals in college or
I don't
something
think
like
so.
That.
I couldn't find anything like that. All I could find are clips where it's like they're cussing each other out on the court.
Interesting. I have heard that Mabry is a pretty big trash talker. I've also heard that Carrington is a pretty big trash talker.
Oh, we know Carrington's a trash talker. Yeah. She takes it to Twitter.
So the fact that those two kind of have in-game tiffs, if you will, I guess doesn't entirely surprise me, but yeah. it's interesting that there's nothing really behind it all.
You know, that's honestly, I think it's going to be an uncomfortable team to play just because they are now going to have two women who, I mean, I think they're going to channel that energy and, you know, even be a more dominant force because Connecticut is already good.
Right. Yep. And now they're getting a sharpshooter from 3-point range. Yeah.
Right. And so anyway, I don't know. I feel like they're both, this is probably to their benefit, but they are both like sassy and they are not afraid to speak their mind. And
right. I just have to go back to, you know, they're professionals at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, this is their job. This is their career. And I would think they're going to put aside any differences personally that they have with each other, at least on the court, and just get over it and find a way to play together.
I think so too. I read that Marina Mabry asked to be traded.
Oh, really?
Also.
Interesting.
And I don't have any intel onto like what, why.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I mean, she knew, I think a couple games ago that she was going to be getting traded and she asked for it. So, another, I guess, happening this week is we found out 5 new members of the Unrivaled team. So
oh,
the
really?
3-on-3
wow,
league
5.
That
okay.
Stewie and Nafisa Collier are starting.
Yeah, who we got?
So we have Jewel Lloyd, Kelsey Plum, Ryan Howard, Kalia Cooper, and Jackie Young.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but have every single person announced so far been Olympians on the Olympic team?
I noticed something similar. So there have been 9 people announced so far.
Okay.
And 8 of those 9 are Olympians.
Is the one person that you're not counting Ryan Howard because she technically is an Olympian?
No, that is not the one person. Oh. The one person that I'm talking about that we're going to get to is Arike. Arike Ogunbowale.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard her name about 17 times last night, so I'm going to be really good at pronouncing her name by the end of this. But yes. So I thought that was interesting. They are releasing names daily. I'll be interested to see if they take a break in the coming weeks just because of the Olympics. But I think we should get most of the rest of the team, the teams, or the people participating in the next couple weeks. So
yeah, that's exciting.
Let's see. We have 9 and there are going to be 30 total. So
okay.
Nice. So yeah. Saw a lot of those play in the game last night.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, well, one, who else is going to join the total of 30 players, but then how they're going to divide these teams up.
Right.
Is there going to be a draft or, you know, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to see how they do it all. Yeah. All right. Biggest news, biggest topic of the week. It was All-Star weekend. It all started Friday night with the Skills Challenge.
Man, it even started before then.
Okay,
let's just talk about media. Like,
oh,
it looked insane. And I think just from hearing players who have played in an All-Star game or participated in the All-Star weekend before and from just media, it just sounded like the vibe of this week and weekend were completely different than anything that they've ever experienced.
Yeah. I mean, I think the season as a whole is different than anything they've ever experienced.
Oh, it makes total sense. And we know that, you know, both nights were sold out. Yeah. And there was a lot of buzz. There was a lot of media, a lot of content, and that was super fun to keep up with. They had
lots of famous people in the crowd,
different events,
non-basketball players, that is.
Right. But I saw the Wilson basketball, whatever, they had kind of an event where they interviewed Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. I saw Aaliyah Boston had kind of her own event with her sponsors. Like, I think that there was a lot going on, and it was cool just to see these players do some of the extracurriculars.
Right. It's grown into a legit all-star weekend, whereas previously it was an all-star game with an all-star night, if right. you will. Kind of similar to the NBA, you know, they refer to it as the all-star weekend or all-star week, all-star break. I mean, it was a legitimate event.
Right. And I think that they really did treat these women as they should. Like, I think that they had a nice resort. Yep. And I know that, well, it was Phoenix that just got new facilities. Correct. And yep. I think that was all kind of lumped into the weekend. So
right.
Anyway, let's get into the actual skills and three-point challenges.
Skills challenge was up first. It was the first event of the night. We had Brittany Griner, quote unquote, representing the bigs. I didn't realize that was the thing. I was kind of wondering why she was in the skills challenge, but yeah. I guess they have someone who represents the bigs. Sophie Cunningham, both host yeah. Team Phoenix right. Players. Then you had Kelsey Mitchell, who actually wasn't supposed to do this. She was a fill-in for Erica Wheeler. Erica Wheeler was
right. You should have led with Erica Wheeler because okay. she was the one who was selected for this. Right. But because of the crowd strike deal, where it just busted up all these airline
right. Yeah, her flight got grounded.
Yep, she never yep. got to leave, nope. And so yes, Kelsey Mitchell took over for Erica Wheeler.
But she did wear the Wheeler jersey, which I thought was cool.
That was cool. But they probably didn't even have a Mitchell jersey there. They probably just had a Fever jersey for Erica Wheeler. Okay, yeah. And who's next?
Then you had Marina Mabry. We just talked about her.
Marina Mabry.
And then Alicia Gray.
Alicia Gray.
Yep, who right. prior to this weekend, I had heard the name, but didn't really know a whole lot about her, didn't know anything about her style of play, but she became or at least should be, a household name now after this weekend.
Absolutely.
One being because she won the skills challenge. Fastest time, or one of the fastest two times, that led her to get into the final. And then she beat out Sophie Cunningham for the actual win, which came with a $55,000 paycheck, as so I hear.
Right. Yeah, I think Aflac sponsored that kind of last minute. But then let's go ahead and get into the three-point challenge, because these are going to be interrelated.
Okay, three-point challenge. You had Stephanie Dolson, a big, who I didn't know this, but I read right before that she actually leads the league in three-point percentage so far this okay. season. So that makes sense why she was there. Then, again, you had Mabry. You also, again, had Alicia Gray. Then you had Jonquel Jones. And Kayla McBride.
Okay.
So a decent grouping there mm-hmm. of three-point shooters. And again, Alicia Gray walks away with the win.
That's right. I think they said that's the first time anyone had won both challenges.
Yep.
I do wonder if maybe in future games or future weekends they will not cast the same people in both challenges, because Marina Mabry had a chance to win it twice, Alicia Gray right. had the chance to win it twice, and she did.
I
just wonder. I mean, I think it's great. Alicia seems super cool, super laid back, super kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it made me love her. Also definitely. Hilarious because she wore goggles both times.
Right.
Which to me, it's like, if you're wearing goggles, you've probably gotten poked in the eye or something. And,
right.
you know, when you're up against people, you don't want to wear them. But I think she's just so used to it.
Exactly. I think it's
she
a comfort thing.
She wore them. And yep. that was kind of funny. Someone asked her if they were prescription, and she's like, the secret's out. I just you know, what's more comfortable. But anyway, that was very cool for her. I think I saw that she makes something like $150,000 a year.
So she basically almost doubled her annual salary.
Right.
I'm assuming they gave her 110, which is what they should have done. They should should give her 55 for each win, not 55.
They did.
Okay, they did. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay. I think Aflac, technically, it was like 115,000 or something. So I think she got the whole thing.
Got it. Okay, good for her then. Right. Really good for her. But then sandwiched between those two competitions, we had a little exhibition between the Olympic 3-on-3 team.
Yeah.
And the U21, is that right? The U21.
23.
23, sorry. The U23.
Which means under 23 years old.
Correct. Which is basically just means college players. 3-on-3 team. The Team USA for that age group. Which was interesting. It was the first live action I've seen of a 3-on-3. It was interesting. What were your thoughts?
So it's very fast moving. Yes. I didn't realize that the whole thing is 10 minutes long.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
So it's very quick. So it's the first one to 21, or whoever has the most points at the end of the 10-minute
Correct. And in game. That 21 is by ones and twos.
Right.
For those of you who go to the gym on the weekends and play pickup ball, you know that scoring system well. For those of you who don't, basically just means a normal shot that would be a two-point shot now is only worth 1 point, and a three-point shot is now only worth 2 points.
But that was cool because I had never seen that done before. I didn't realize that on each possession, you have to run outside the three-point line.
Yep.
I didn't realize you cannot be coached during the game.
That was the most interesting thing I thought. Yeah.
So it's like you're kind of self-coached.
Right.
So you really have to be pretty smart.
Players have to sub themselves.
Right. Yes. And I don't remember when can they sub themselves, whenever the ball goes out of bounds or when there's a foul or something like that.
Pretty much anytime there's a dead ball.
Okay. Yes. But it also, it's kind of attractive to me because it's such a short game. You know, you really
want to invest very much.
Right. Well, and you just really want to pay attention the whole time.
Yeah,
you know,
you're gonna miss it.
So I do, I mean, it makes sense why like the big three from Ice Cube and like the 3-on-3 that is happening in the Unrivaled League, it makes sense. And we don't know much about Unrivaled yet, but if they did do it all in one day, you know, they're only 10 minutes long. Right. So, you know, people don't want to like come out for just, you know, what could be combined a half hour, right?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, that was fun to watch. And it was the women's national team who pulled it out that game.
Yep, and for those who don't know, the women's 3-on-3 national team, Haley Van Lith, college player, De'Erica Hamby, who was actually the fill-in, if you want to call it that, for Cameron Brink, who tore her ACL earlier. And then I'm missing. Oh, Ryan Howard. Sorry, who plays for the Atlanta Dream. And then the final, her name slipped in my mind.
It's Sienna, I think.
Yes. Yes. She doesn't play in the WNBA currently. She plays, overseas. But she's been a pro for a while. But the actual game, Katie, the actual All-Star game was the Team WNBA. So the WNBA All-Stars versus the Team USA, supposedly best team in the world. Let's break it down by half, if we can. What were your immediate reactions after the first half or during?
I just was excited that the WNBA team was able to keep up. I thought that it was going to be like a slaughterhouse.
Really?
I
did.
Really did. Thought that Team USA was going to come to play. They also have all the bigs, like Brittany Griner, you know, like Asia Wilson, who can literally do no wrong right now. I even heard, I think it was in the skills challenge, Caitlin Clark said something to Asia Wilson, saying something like, yeah, we're just going to get killed tomorrow, you know? And so to hear her say that, I was like, oh, yeah, they're just going to get killed tomorrow, you know? But anyway, I was excited that WNBA, you know, All-Stars could hang.
Yeah. And Team USA had a slight lead going into halftime, if I remember right. It was like a 2-point lead. And the starters. Do we want to go over the starters for both teams?
No.
Okay. I was going to say.
No, I think kind of what I liked about it is that mostly all of the players on both teams, they got significant minutes, you know, yes. like 10 mm-hmm. minutes or more.
Yeah.
I think the exception was Nafisa Collier, who we know is still recovering a little bit from an injury, so they probably didn't want to overdo it for her.
Right. I mean, she only played a couple minutes. But yes, yep, I agree. So first half, great game. Things were looking good for Team WNBA. They were keeping it close, which we were all happy for, making it an exciting game. And let me sidetrack by saying this. It's not like one team was taking it easy on the other, but both teams were playing hard. It wasn't like a typical all-star type game where one side or both sides aren't playing defense. They were both playing hard, and I can't remember who it was, but someone even after the game was interviewed and was like, yeah, we have to get Team USA ready because it's this game and then one more exhibition game before they're playing in the Olympics. So they weren't going easy on each other. Let's get that straight. But then the second half, our girl Arike went absolutely crazy. She had 0 points in the first half, all right, but she finished the game with 34 points. 34 points.
Yep.
Ended up being the MVP. Holy smokes. She was unguardable the second half.
And she led Team WNBA to a win.
Yeah, yes. I should definitely say that.
117 to 109.
Correct. And I think that score is actually closer than it actually was. The second half, Team WNBA pulled away by 20 points at one point.
That third quarter, Team WNBA led 36 to 25 just in that quarter.
Wow, yeah.
And so that was really what did it for them.
Yeah, I mean, Arike, shoot, she's the best one-on-one player in women's basketball right now. She's unreal. If she is having a game where she's hitting shots, then there's nothing you can do to stop her.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop her to begin with. It's just going to be a matter of, is she having a night where she's missing shots or is she having a night where she's making shots?
Right.
So you just have to cross your fingers and hope and pray that she's not having a good shooting night.
I know. Well, I was thinking about just the game in general. I think Team USA was really lucky that Caitlin Clark was not landing shots at all.
Absolutely.
I think Caitlin went 0 for 5 at the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And if she had even hit, you know, three of those, yeah, like, it would have been even more ugly.
Oh, yeah. But she did, Caitlin Clark, I mean, she didn't have a bad game. She didn't have a high-scoring game, but she had 10 assists.
10 assists with, yeah. So I think that was a record for a rookie.
Correct. And it was only one away from tying the WNBA record.
Right, which was Sue Bird.
Which was Sue Bird's record, yep, who Caitlin Clark during the game even said was chirping at her from the sideline.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
There was another record broken, right? Mm-hmm. Angel Reese.
Okay, so that's which one we were talking about. Yes, Angel Reese. Yep.
A double-double.
A double-double. First rookie with a double. Was the first rookie?
I think that might be it. I think it might be the first rookie with a double-double. Okay,
first rookie with a double-double. I'm pretty sure Arike's 34 points was also a record.
It might have been.
For most points in a game.
I don't know.
We saw lots of records drop or come close to dropping at least.
Well, and I think the biggest highlight for most people is the Caitlin Clark assist to Angel Reese.
To Angel Reese. I think she had two, actually, to Angel Reese, if I remember right.
I only remember one, but either way,
okay.
Hang it in the Louvre. Yeah. Like, we love to see it.
Yes. I mean,
I could watch that replay over and over and just want to run through a brick wall.
Yeah, seeing these two players who the media tried to pit against each other sort of back when they were in college as, you know, rivals and we don't like each other, but seeing them work together and like be cheering each other on is fantastic. I love it.
Yep. And so here we go. This says Caitlin Clark hit the most assists ever for a rookie with 10.
Okay.
Arike had the most points in a WNBA All-Star game with 34 points.
Okay.
And Angel Reese was the first rookie to have a double-double in her first All-Star game. So, some big wins there.
Yeah, Team WNBA balled out.
They did. And there were other players who really did incredible. I know we're just talking about three, but we'll talk about Team USA, too. Like, Breonna Stewart, she had 31 points. Asia had 22. Like, they had some good moves, and we all think they're going to be fine in the Olympics. But honestly, it was just kind of nice to see that it was a real game and it wasn't just yes. like the top 12 players just absolutely dominating this, you know, the second best, right, you know? So right. yeah. that was fun. One thing that I just want to hit on real quick. So a lot of people were shocked that Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu were not playing in the 3-point competition.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't really think about that.
And so I think a lot of people were upset about it until they found out that Sabrina and Caitlin were both asked to okay. participate, and both of them declined. Sabrina said that she wanted to focus on Paris, and Caitlin, I think most of it was she just said she wasn't prepared. Plus, yeah. Caitlin places 30th in 3-point percentage.
Yeah.
Like, that's not great, no. right? I mean, as far as standings and, like, right. if you're going right. to ask her to come, I don't feel like that's a great look if you're if you have other people who are maybe in the top 10.
Yes, I agree with that.
So, yep. At first, I was frustrated, too, because I was like, dang, Caitlin, like, everyone would have really loved to see this. Right. But that might have been a bad look.
Yeah. I mean, plus, just from a rest perspective, I mean, if I'm her, I'm taking every advantage to get a little bit of rest that I can. She's been playing basketball since, I mean, probably since September of last year. Right. So almost a full year straight once you count in, you know, her college training camp or whatever you want to call right. it in college, and then preseason games and then the regular yeah. season and postseason. Yeah.
Some rest is really going to do her good.
I think there are going to be several teams that come out after this break looking better. One is the Fever. I think this time to get some rest and maybe get some cohesiveness between a team that hasn't had a lot of practice time together will do them so good. But also I think Dallas, the home team Dallas, they have a couple players that have been injured that are expected to come back after this Olympic break. So I think they could have a little second half run, if you will.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could get in the playoffs and maybe get some playoff tickets.
I know. We're really going to have to, yeah, make a run for mm-hmm. it. We play some pretty tough teams.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk about the Olympics. First yes. of all, I did not realize that the women's national team, they only had two opportunities to play together as a team. Right. One is obviously the All-Star game. Yes. We just talked about it. And then you mentioned it earlier. There's one exhibition game. They played Team Germany. Mm-hmm. And I think they play it in the UK.
That sounds correct.
I think I saw that they landed there today.
Right.
But that is not a lot of practice for them.
No, it's not. I think the only thing that kind of helps them out is that a lot of these girls, women, have played on this team before and have played with each other on this team before. It may have been a while ago, but at least they've been there before, and so hopefully they can kind of catch up where they may have left off from last time they played with each other.
Right. It's just kind of wild thinking about how the men are over in, what, Abu Dhabi or something right now. Yeah, where are they at?
I don't think they're there anymore. I think they're in England, too. But they were in Abu Dhabi.
Okay, well, they have gotten some practice, oh, yeah, you know, they together, played, like significant practice. Oh,
yeah, they've played quite a few
okay,
games.
Let me see. It says the women arrived in London today. Okay. So.
Yeah, the women, hopefully they had a little come to Jesus meeting. I don't even know if that's the right word. It's not like they played terrible. I don't think they played terrible, and I think it's important to remember that this team, WNBA team they just played, is probably the second best grouping of players in the world behind Team USA, if you want to call them the best, just because they're a bunch of superstars.
Yeah, no, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're going to be fine.
Okay, so Olympics, the first game for the women's national team will be played on July 29th. Mm. They play against Japan.
So wait, do we know, or do you know off the top of your head, who's in their group? So maybe we should back up a little bit. The way the Olympics work is first you have group play. So you have your four teams in a group. Everybody plays each other, so you play three games in group play. And then it's, I believe, the top two teams from each group move on to like a tournament-style play.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the the four that they're with.
Okay.
Let's see if I can figure it out. Japan, Belgium, and Germany is who it looks like.
Oh, okay. So they're getting an exhibition game against someone they're going to play in roughly another week.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I'm wondering if that exhibition game was set a while ago before they released who was in what group.
It may have. And if anyone's curious, the exhibition game is July 23rd, 2 p.m. Central. And it says it's going to be on FS1.
Really?
So we will see.
Okay, I'll have that one on at work.
Let's see. July 23rd is Tuesday.
Tuesday, yep.
So if you need a little bit of a break at work, you can watch that game. Okay, so then we know that the championship game, or I guess there's a gold medal game and a bronze medal game. The gold medal game is Sunday, August 11th at 8:30 a.m. The bronze is at 4:30 a.m., so we're just going to hope that they're, you know, getting the gold anyway. So.
Well, if one of the babies wakes up early in the morning, maybe we can flip on
right,
and catch the end.
Yeah, there you go. But because of the Olympic, we'll call it break, we will be out for a few weeks, and I think we're gonna do an episode on August 11th that evening. We'll just recap some of the Olympics. We'll talk about maybe some of the new Unrivaled folks, and just if there's anything else, and then August 15th, I think that's a Wednesday.
Thursday.
And Thursday, okay. And the WNBA will be back at
full
it.
Swing. Yeah.
That's right.
And then after that, it's a pretty short, what, 4, maybe 5 weeks until the end of the season.
That's right.
Or the end of the regular season, I should say.
It's gone fast.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, so we'll plan on seeing everybody again, or I shouldn't say seeing, listening, hearing from everybody again on the 11th. And then, I don't know, if something big comes up between now and the 11th, I'm not saying that we're not going to have some kind of a surprise or emergency episode to kind of recap that. But yeah, hey, we appreciate everybody listening this first, I guess, 2/3 of the season. We'll catch you guys back in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening. We are your hosts for the Crossover Conversations podcast, the Wyatts. I'm Devin.
I'm Katie.
Thanks again, everybody.